It is Locked On Jazz for the 8th of August. Mexico City and Christmas Day. We must be big time. We'll talk about that. Plus, Craig Bowlerjack rejoins us to talk about Quinn Snyder and how good are the Utah Jazz. It's all coming up. Plus, a Vegas over-under look on this edition of Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, and geeky little numbers about the team. You can listen to this show, follow it for free on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and you can, of course, have your smart speaker just tell it to play podcast Locked On Jazz. All right, I have to share a funny story first, if I don't mind. How the Locked On sports world will infiltrate you. So today's show is brought to you by The Store, and it's brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. And I was laughing because yesterday I stopped by Intercap to see Brock and Steve Carter, the guys who did my loan, and then actually, crazily enough, by the way, Intercap still owns my loan. Never seen it before. It's like crazy. It's what they said they'd do. And so they're a sponsor of the show, and we finished our meeting, and we were over at Cottonwood, so we were near the store, and Brock says, like, so is the mudslide cookie that good? I was like, yeah. So we finished our meeting early. Like, I'm convinced we rushed through the final few minutes of it to drive down to the store and get cookies. We actually ran into Brad Jones, former Jazz coach's wife, there. And then by the end of the day, Intercap and Brock and Devin Cash had hooked up, our equity real estate, Devin Cash. And I was joking, like, well, if we'd carpooled in a Murdoch Hyundai and switched it out for a Murdoch Chevy on the way and then had our taxes done at Mizuma USA, we really could have just done the whole Locked On gamut right there. Like, we could have done all. And then I joked about this, and then Brock said, well, I actually had my parents buy a car from Shamrock Auto. And I was like, all right, well, that does it. So anyway, it was kind of a funny little thing. Great conversation continuing on the Locked On Jazz Facebook page, and welcome to our newest members, Nick Zimmerman, Tanya Hogan, Tanner Fox, Jeremy Klassen, Benjamin Ledard, all welcome to the Locked On Jazz Facebook group. The conversation's been great. Colin Coward pissed everybody off, didn't he? Woo, did Colin Coward piss everybody off? He doesn't know what he's talking about. Why are you worried about it? So Colin Coward, if you missed it, went and basically said that Joe Ingles couldn't guard a chair, and that, you know, he's on his Donovan Mitchell, his Russell Westbrook thing. And, you know, he just doesn't get it. By the way, Christopher Brown wrote a really interesting piece about what basketball from an Australian piece and posted it up on the site. And then Jaden had a good conversation about Ricky Rubio. The Facebook group is just, I'm like on it all day. Hopefully you see my comments and things of that nature. So we're playing on Christmas Day, according to all reports. I don't know. I haven't had it confirmed. But we're playing, according to Chris Haynes, who's pretty good, Portland will play Utah Jazz on the road in one of the five Christmas Day games. Well, probably, I would guess we would be the last one. And I would guess that we will be radio only with Ron Boone. Would be my guess. It will be a TV game. And, you know, so it's just incredible. Like, that's a big deal. Like, I've never called a Christmas Day game before, and I couldn't be more excited. It's a great honor, you know, to be one of the marquee teams. That night game is watched heavily. This is just another tip of the cap to Dennis Lindsay, Quinn Snyder, the players, and the relevancy of this franchise. And it's just absolutely the coolest thing that it has been, that they have, built this to the point where, and I don't know who, you know, I don't really know who, when you start thinking, but New Orleans with Anthony Davis does not seem to be a Christmas Day game. I haven't seen, I think they've kind of, there's reports out of three or four of them. So, you know, you'd suspect the Thunder, the Lakers, the Rockets, and then if the Jazz are in Portland and the Jazz, that's a big deal. And I'm not entirely sure that I've seen the Rockets there. So to be in that grouping is certainly a huge step for our organization. By the way, the inner summer interview series is continuing. Craig Bowlerjack will join us here in just a few minutes. I'll have one today and tomorrow. I was, quite honestly, I'm flying to a few days out of town, and I was absolutely planning on kind of putting out two podcasts and having one ready for tomorrow. But they're putting out the schedule of the first week in opening games tonight. So, and Christmas Day. So we'll know for a fact. So I figured I probably should wait till that's out, before I record, my next pod. I'm going to see my obnoxious Eagles fan friend. So maybe he'll jump on and talk about the process, and we'll just have it. No, we'll have more with Craig Bowlerjack. Craig's going to talk about Quinn Snyder and, how good he thinks the Jazz are, coming up on today's show. The other one is Mexico City. We've talked about this a lot on the show because I think I may have learned earlier than a lot of people that the league really wants to get into Mexico City. They've been flirting with having a G League team there. This is a high priority for them. They'll have two games this year, and the Jazz will get to play Orlando. I'm more excited to go to Mexico City, but I am somewhat excited also on the idea that it might mean I don't have to go to Orlando. I don't know if it's a home game or a road game for us, but if we don't have to go to Orlando, that'd be fine. And they're probably saying the same thing about Utah, for all we know. But getting to go play in Mexico City is, I'm very excited about it. I was at lunch yesterday with Jerry Sloan and Frank Layden in the Legends lunch, and Phil Johnson was there, and they were talking about, they're remembering their trips to Mexico City. They said the security's really something. 7,382 feet, so the altitude will work to the Jazz advantage. But it's a city I've never been to. I'm very excited to kind of go to the historic part of the city. Then I hear that the growth is amazing. I have a friend who says it's basically her favorite place in the world. So, I don't know if this one is that it fit or they wanted to use us. I'm not sure this one's as prestigious as Christmas, but it's just a great experience and, to go see that and then see another place. So what a day yesterday. How fun. Can't that just get you totally fired up. The Vegas over-under is out, and the Warriors are at the top at 62.5. And remember, the goal of Vegas is to have you put as much money on each side of it. Houston's at 54.5. Oklahoma City is at 50.5. The Jazz are at 48.5. The Lakers are at 48.5. So that would be the 4-5 matchup. Denver 6 at 47.5. New Orleans 7 at 45.5. And then Minnesota at 44.5, San Antonio and Portland out of the playoffs. Portland out at 41. 44.5 to get in is high because there just aren't that many wins around for everyone. So here's a thought on this. So Pelton's numbers have slightly outperformed Vegas. And the amount that they have slightly outperformed Vegas, in my mind, is the area... And how they've outperformed them is because Vegas alters these numbers to get that money on each side. And so when the minute they do that, they're giving you their numbers and then probably a secondary formula that says Paul George, Russell Westbrook will get X extra votes and the Lakers will get X extra votes. And so you're trying to get equal amount of money on each side. And I think you have to inflate a few numbers here. And the Lakers, particularly with Vegas's location and LeBron, people, you drop that one to 46 and you're way too far. Now, all of a sudden you have too much money on the top side on one side of it. And if the Lakers have a good year, you're in trouble. So that's my take on it. It is, you know, what I think is maybe most important from our standpoint is, so here's two different systems, both based numerically, frankly, and they both have the Jazz in that upper echelon. Like, the real consensus that we have here isn't that Vegas is. I read some of that. You know, Vegas disrespecting us. I would disagree with that. I would say the way I read this is yet another confirmation that everyone kind of believes that what they saw out of the Jazz last year was legit. Now, is there a chance that people are still underestimating the value of defense? Sure, that would be, you know, that was my theory all of last year, and I think there's still a possibility that they're still underestimating the value of defense, in which case then they're underestimating the value of the Utah Jazz. Today's show is brought to you by the store. I'm going to have to check in with Brock because he took a bunch of cookies from the store back over to the office to see which one the crew over at Intercap. So any of you at Intercap that are listening, send me a little vote on which cookie was best. They got it from the store at 6200 South 20th East. Great little place. Steve had not been there before. And I took Steve to the back to show him where the barbecue chicken is and some of the pre-made meals are, because, you know, if you're working, you don't want to go out for lunch every day. You want to stop by, sometimes pick some things up. Great things to bring home. The June pies were there. I tipped them off about the Port Tomatillo, showed them the local section that they have just for all the Utah locals around, which is such a great signature of the store, the way they customize it for the local people, local consumers, and give them a chance to have their product seen. And then, of course, we did head over to the cookie section and pick up the Mudslide cookie. To get there, of course, you had to walk right by the draft kombucha or the draft cold brew, the nitro. So lots of great things. Go check it out. They have a new thing that came out. They have new Pioneer chips as well as a new French-inspired pastry line that came out. Pioneer chips are kettled potato chips. That's another local company, so they've done a nice job with that. They've got all your Utah and BYU stuff as we get ready, and Utah State stuff as you get ready for the season. Don't forget, right next door is Cottonwood Ace with all the Traeger wood-fired grills. That is our good friends over at the store. We're lucky enough to have Craig Bowler, Jack TV, voice of the Utah Jazz, back with us again. And last episode, if you missed it, we talked a lot about where the franchise sits, how it's grown, and a lot about Donovan Mitchell and his upbringing and the incredible storm that he brought upon us. I want to go to Dennis Lindsay's a mastermind. We hear stories. We don't get to see it firsthand. I mean, the stories I just hear about his preparation and the group's preparation are endless, but you and I don't really get to see that in the same way that we get to see what Quinn Snyder does for this group. What do you think that is? What is it, do you think, that Quinn Snyder gives these 15 players of the Utah Jazz?
David, I tell you, that's really a great conversation piece. I think it's consistency every day. And what I mean by that is they know what to expect. There's very few surprises. We spend hours at the practice facility during the regular season and beyond and watch him. He is very consistent, but also demanding. There's moments that we sit there and go, whoa. But I think it's a fair calculated moment that Quinn decides to take. And what I mean by that, well-educated, understands personalities, multiple personalities throughout his team and how to handle them. Sometimes softer, sometimes much more direct and hard on an individual, because I think he knows which one can take it, which one may not. But yet the communication line is very intriguing to me. And I think you watch the same thing I have with Booner and Matt and Kristen and the rest. He just has an incredible, savvy of psychology. And that's part of his education, you know. I mean, that's who he is. Quinn's a special individual who's gone through his own turmoil of life. And I think that plays into a factor of the way he coaches and the way he communicates, David, with players and the media. I mean, it's really intriguing. I find him one of the most, interesting coaches I've run across. And I know you probably feel the same way. He's demanding, but at the same time, he can listen. And I think that's really an important combination of how you handle 15 guys in a locker room.
There's so many different things to him. His ability to motivate, his ability to have the guys believe he's on their side.
Right, right. Good point.
And then the last one is, and I don't know that all, you know, I'm sure that one of the 15 players could be listening to this and say to me, are you kidding me? I don't know who it is, but, it can't be universal. It's impossible for a coach to have all 15 players think that. But the amount of times we've seen guys somewhat out of the rotation pop back in or be ready or just get another chance, whether it's AB, or whomever it is, and they're ready to go, whether it's Epe winning the game in Boston, having not played in all that time. That, to me, there's something about – now, that probably maybe goes to the preparation of Dennis as well, that you have character guys that are willing to do that.
Yeah, that's a really great point, because we've been around teams throughout our careers, and I'm talking even with the Jazz and outside of it, when you go to cities and you talk to the local writers or television or radio play-by-play announcers, and they're saying, this place is a mess. This place is a mess. And you go, what's happening? Well, you know, they'll point to one player or a disagreement, or two or three guys aren't getting enough time, or the coaches have lost them. That's a well-known statement around the league. The coach just doesn't have their, you know, their trust. David, I tell you, in a short period of time with the Jazz, Quinn, as you make a great point, seems to just connect. And I think the biggest compliment you just paid him was the fact that he can get AB, he can get F.A. Udo, or last year it was Jonas Jerebko on some nights where they haven't played in maybe one of only four games or three games on the road, and they deliver for AB 17 points, or F.A. gets a masterful block late and a putback or a huge defensive rebound, and Jerebko happens to drain a three. And you know what? A lot of guys we know, unnamed in the league, will sit and pout. That's a, in my opinion, we've watched it. There's a former Jazz player that refused to check in who played for the Cleveland Cavaliers, which really surprised me. But that doesn't happen with the Utah Jazz. And your point's well taken. Look, I think they know their roles and they know the look. Some nights you're not going to play. And they probably, don't you think? I mean, I think I would appreciate the fact, my role, who am I, what am I? And I think Dennis and Quinn both have been pretty honest. And if you can take that as a player to say, I'm not going to be a big role player on this road trip, but I'm ready in case you need me. And if that happens, David, gosh, that may be part of this whole equation that we talk about of a solid locker room of 15, because they get it. And when they are needed, they're ready. A lot of players in this league aren't, but for the Jazz, from my standpoint, I think all of them are ready, you know, ready to go when Quinn looks at them and say, let's go. We need you right now. And there doesn't seem to be any hesitation. And they seem to be prepared mentally too, to jump on the floor and do what they have to do.
The other one is, at least, and this goes actually back to this book, Culture Code. You're going to hear it. You're going to be so tired of this book.
You're a reader. People don't know that. This guy, David Locke, reads and you know, inhales words of wisdom every you know, you always have a book you're talking
trying.
About. Always.
So, try to get better every day. Create every day. The one thing that it talks about is believing you have some sort of edge. Do you think these players think they have an edge because Quinn's and the coaching staff's game plans?
Oh, absolutely. You know, David, again, we're privy. We really are, to go to practice and shoot arounds, and very few broadcast teams are allowed in the NBA. I think you'll agree. I don't know if there's a better prepared team. You know, you may hear, well, the practice went 3 hours, sometimes.
Someone's mentioned that.
Sometimes they end with fun, and Quinn brings out whatever the money is that's been reaped upon, mostly Gobert, for being late for a bus. But they shoot threes at midcourt, and there's that loosey-goose feel. And you go, okay, there's the balance you speak of, right? But I think there's no team probably that I've come across better prepared with game planning against the opponent on a night-to-night basis. And, you're analytical. And I kind of stand back and look the old way of just playing the game, and you know, how are they in digesting his game plan, and what is their body language telling me? And I know you do too, but you know, I see these guys still engaged, and maybe they walk off the floor like that was a little bit long, but I guarantee you, David, if you and I walked up to him, right? Do you feel the same way that those guys would say, we were prepared for this ball game tonight? And Quinn didn't leave any, you know, stone unturned. Maybe the argument would be by some players, I'd rather be back in my room resting. But I think Quinn Snyder's idea of being prepared is to say, look, on an inbound pass with 6 seconds left, we're going to either do this or defend it this way. And you know what? Three times in 82 games, those will equal wins and could be the difference between a home court or not making the playoffs. And that's how important preparation is.
Not making the playoffs. Not making the playoffs. Kevin Pelton has other ideas. I'm going to get geeky with numbers, and we're going to discuss whether Pelton's crazy when we continue with Craig Bolajack on Locked On Jazz. So we have a new 16-year-old driver in the house. What do you do about that? Well, you go search, at least in our case, for the safest, best value car you can get on the market. And then in our case, we were going to trade in one of our SUV, so we want another SUV so mom could use as well. And so after our search and our knowledge of what we've learned, we went to Hyundai, went to Murdoch Hyundai. We went and found out, talked to Jason, and obviously Blake was incredible to us, and the crew there was fabulous. And we ended up with a Hyundai Santa Fe. That same Hyundai Santa Fe, 2018, right now received the highest 5-star overall safety rating for the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, considered a top safety pick plus Motor Trend. Lock research comes through in the clutch. I tell you, I geeked out on this too. And we're very, very pleased about it. And we've been pleased with everything we've had with Murdoch. They're doing the birthday bash because it's Murdoch's 92nd anniversary. You get oil changes, brakes for life, car washes for life, and safety inspections for life if you buy a car with Hyundai, Murdoch Hyundai, and Logan, Linden, or Murray. I strongly suggest if you're going to try to get the if you're looking at a hybrid, go look at the Ioniq. The Kona is the small little SUV. It's zippy and fast and fun. And the sedan line is great as well. It's all over at Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street, as well as Logan and Linden. All right, so I'm going to get geeky with numbers, I said. Here it comes. Are you ready? Last year, when Joe Johnson was on the floor for the Utah Jazz, they were a -8 per 100 possessions, 99 on, 107 off was the defense. Was the offense was 99 rating and the defense was with Rodney Hood was on the floor last year for the Utah Jazz. The Jazz were a -3.3. The defense was a 107. The offense was a 104. There was not another player that was a regular player on the Utah Jazz other than Jonas Jerebko, who had a defensive rating higher than 102. Actually, Favors was at 103. Okay, 103 would be like third best in the league. From the time in which the Jazz got rid of both Joe Johnson and Rodney Hood at the trade deadline, they went something like 24-6, right? Something like that? I don't even know, actually. It was so crazy.
Yeah, it was one of the hottest runs. What would they finish? 29-6? Is that what it was at the end of the season? I got to go back and look at my game notes.
It depends
but,
what date you want to start.
The Jazz were on a tear. We're on an absolute tear to finish the season.
Is that realistic to think that that replicates itself in a new season? They're 22-6 after trade deadline.
Right.
Is that?
I think that the Jazz may be the most intriguing team in the league besides the Lakers with LeBron, okay? And just in the sense of can you continue this type of of play, and as we've been talking about, camaraderie and chemistry. You know, I know where you're going with Kevin Pelton. I've been looking at numbers today with ESPN and, you know, the over and under with Las Vegas and where the Jazz stand from 2 to 4 to 5 in the West. I mean, it's bizarre just how much attention is played with this team right now, too. I think the intrigue of Donovan, number one, and Rudy, of course, and Quinn Snyder and what the Jazz, who they are and what they represent. But, Dave, I tell you, I don't see after the Hood and Joe Johnson departure, the Jazz just seem to take off. And Rudy was healthy. I think, you know, I think that has to be an important factor here, that Gobert found himself back in a rhythm, and Donovan and Ricky Rubio also found incredible. Gosh, I mean, that combination and the respect they had for one another was fun. You could tell it every night of how they played. But, you know, I don't think the Jazz skip a beat right now. I don't. I think that there is a mission and it hasn't been completed. Injury aside, I think this team is going to be really fun to watch and probably one of the bigger stories in the Western Conference this year and beyond.
Kevin Pelton's system has actually had a better success rate than the over-under system, over-under numbers out there. Kevin Pelton has picked the Jazz to finish second in the West, third overall in the NBA. What's your reaction to that?
I mean, Kevin is a guy, like you said, his numbers and what I've read throughout the years, he's been pretty spot on in everything that he breaks down, even when it comes to talking trade or what have you. Pelton's is dialed in. You know him very well. I got to be honest, you know, those numbers are very difficult to reach for any team, especially in the Western Conference, David. I'm not sure how the LeBron experiment will go in Los Angeles. I was looking tonight at ESPN, the over and unders from Las Vegas as well, and they have the Lakers as a playoff team in the seventh spot. They also have them, another, the over and under in Vegas has them tied with the Jazz at, 48.5 wins between the two. I don't know if that happens. LeBron's good.
And by the way, that would be a first-round matchup, too. Because they have it would be tied at 4-5. So we can go LeBron in the first round of the playoffs.
Oh, my gosh. Craziness. I mean, just craziness. But, you know, I don't know. The Jazz, I think any team, and this isn't just the Jazz in my opinion. I mean, Rudy went down twice last year. And the playoff before that went down in the first round against the Clips. And we're still able to rally back and win. I think health plays a factor for every team in the league. How deep you are, and I think the Jazz are a deep team. And I think, again, they've got to still get more production offensively off the second unit. But, you know, this team just plays defense like none other. Can defense win titles? It did years and years ago for the Detroit Pistons. But, David, you've got the numbers. I mean, the three ball is everything. And in the Western Conference, to hang with the likes of Clay and Steph, and what Harden does, and what Oklahoma City still has in Westbrook. I mean, there's a lot of challenges out there, but defense and Rudy Gobert and what he does and how he alters shots does play a big equation in what probably, in my opinion, I'd like to hear yours, and what Pelton believes the Jazz are capable of. But defense, the Jazz have something very special in Gobert. We all know that, and teams do have to change the way they attack. So It's a bold call by Mr. Pelton. The one I'm anxious to see how the Jazz handle it. You know what? It's pressure too. When you start looking at the numbers, David, you know this. I mean, people, you know, players look at their box score every night in the locker room, and sometimes those numbers become so important that it kind of fogs your mind about really what the ultimate goal is, and that's to win. But it'll be interesting to see how this team reacts and how, you know, Rudy plays his side of the ball, and how Donovan attacks with Ricky Rubio in the front court. I can't wait. I can't wait to see how this comes about this year, and how, especially Donovan as a sophomore in this league, he's been around it once, and he's a veteran. There's no doubt. I'm anxious to see how he plays out his second year in the league.
Answer your question a moment ago. If the Jazz are number one defensively in the way they were dominant post the trade deadline, and that those numbers I shared early, that every one of their bad defenders are gone. And
right.
I mean, Derek Favors is your worst rated defensive player, and that's just because he's on most when Rudy's off. You're pretty fabulous. And if the Jazz are that dominant defensively, then there are, yes. Because my big finding last year, at least in my opinion, is that defense is equally as important as offense. And that's not how most people view the league. So to answer your question, if the Jazz are as good defensively as they were post-trade deadline and are that dominant defensively, you have to view them as the same thing as the Warriors offensively, and that type of dominance gets you home court advantage in the playoffs.
And David, I think, you know, you and I talked about this too. I mean, look who played the Warriors as tough as anyone in the league last year. Was it not the Utah Jazz?
Yeah, I'm not sure we ever saw the Warriors last year.
Yeah, maybe not. You know what?
They did start Quentin Cook one of those games.
Well, you know what happens? You're right. I mean, what happens is these teams that are the elite, you know, they turn it on and turn it off, and that's the ability they have, especially come playoff time. But, you know, you still respect the fact the way the Jazz did, you know, defend them. But as deep as the Warriors are and still are, it's amazing to watch the Steve Kerr driven offense and defense of Golden State. But I think the Jazz, you know, are to the task. And you're right, the defense, and we've had this discussion too about the three ball. I mean, the Jazz still have to be able to put, you know, points on the board, but also their defense allows them maybe to be off on given nights, and that did play a factor last year.
I go back to the 2 days I go back to that make me optimistic about this season, well, probably three, are March 11th in New Orleans when the Jazz won by 17, the 24-point win in Minnesota.
Right.
I mean, those teams needed those games, and those are the teams you're competing with. And the Jazz went into both their buildings and just annihilated them. And then I think, obviously, Game 2, when you win against the Thunder in Game 6, I mean, when you prove that against a Thunder team in the playoffs, I think that obviously has great value. The Warrior win, so the Clipper win, I felt like the Clippers kind of had died already by the time we got them. You know, 1-2-3 Cancun. It really is how that felt. So I don't know. It's, you know, you look at that. And there's some other nights, right, though? There's the loss against Portland on the first game back from the All-Star break, and there's the loss to Atlanta where guards, you know, suddenly had these games that made you wonder if the defense was that good. So it's not, you know, there's still some question marks out there, but it is sure going to be exciting. Craig Bowler, Jack, wrapping up the second edition. Tomorrow, on the next edition of Locked On Jazz, we'll have Bowler back with us, and we'll do some LeBron in L.A. stuff and some of that as well. Thanks for tuning in. This is Locked On Jazz. Stay tuned for more. Locked On NBA's daily edition is still out in the offseason as well. It's all on the Locked On Podcast Network. Special thanks to Bowler. We'll have one more show this week as well on Locked On Jazz. I'll either drop it on Thursday morning or probably maybe Friday morning, thinking the schedule might come out on Thursday. If the schedule's going to come out on Thursday, then I'll wait till Friday to talk about it. I'll try to see if I can find out the answer to that. So this has been Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.